The worship team. How about the worship team? Hallelujah. I'm going to call them back, but I want to deliver a word, and then we want to have time to lay hands on some of you, because I believe some of you are going through challenges that God wants to get you through as an overcomer and give you victory. Think it not strange if in the midst of great revival, in the midst of great awakening, if you're not under great attack. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? You know, I know that some of you, you know, look at pastors sometimes and you think it's glamorous. Let me tell you, to whom much is expect given, you know, much is required. And God allows us to go through things. Testing. Don't think that the more spiritual or the closer you get to God, the easier it's going to get. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. Oh my goodness. It's a secular song. But you know what? Even the God-given roses that God created, they have thorns. The beauty of the rose. And yet they have thorns. You know, there's a process that God takes us through in growth that requires some overcoming. No testimony without a test. And I believe that we're in a season right now that's a historic season for the body of Christ. We'll look back on this day one day and maybe talk to our grandchildren, you know, about what it was like. You know, I mean, when Noah was building the ark before the flood, he didn't even know what rain was. He didn't know what God had in mind, but he's just obeying God. And he was under a lot of persecution, but I'm going to tell you what, when the rains came and people were pounding on the door after God had shut the door, and it was too late, Noah was glad that he obeyed God. I'm going to tell you, be glad that you are making the sacrifices to follow after God. It's the only way to go. In John 6, verse 66, 666, when all the disciples were bailing out on Jesus, Jesus said to his 12 and his close ones, "You're going to leave me too?" They said, "Where would we go? There's no other better place. You have the words of life." And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing else out there. You ask the people that have been there, done that, tried everything, and they're going to tell you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and life more abundantly. So today, after we've gotten through Easter Sunday, I want to talk to you about God's purpose. I'm actually starting a series I want to introduce here in a moment. But this is the first in the series. We have a calling, we have a mandate, we have a mission. I'm talking to you now about the power of the resurrection in action. It's not good enough just to celebrate the resurrection. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and God expects us to use it. So let's watch this together.
We were not created to live stagnant lives, to be stuck, bound, or broken. We were created with a purpose, a calling, a mandate, a mission. Even in these uncertain times, that calling remains the same: to go into the world, to make disciples, to share the love of Jesus.
Yes.
This is the work of Easter, the greatness of God, the power of the resurrection in action. What Jesus did has changed us, made us a new creation, given us an unimaginable hope, grace has taken root. Mercy has flooded our souls, and the promise of eternity has redefined our everything. So why keep all that to ourselves? It's time to put Easter in motion, to make a difference, to share Jesus with the world around us. If your life has been changed, it's time to get to work.
And there's a Great Commission scripture, Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. Well, does anybody remember last week's message? What's the little girl saying? Ta-da! Easter is a big deal. This little third grader thought that this is probably what Jesus said when he came busting out of the tomb. Ta-da! Hallelujah. Well, I love that picture because I really believe that Easter, it redefines our lives. It redefines the reality of our Christian lives, that we're not just going to church and being religious. The resurrection was a history changer. It was a game changer. I want you to turn to Colossians 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. Then I want to read it in a Message Bible, a more amplified translation to help you really get it. Let's read it together. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Metaphorically speaking, you are dead. You've died to your own ways. What's happening? Oh, my bookmark. That's my business card here. I think we need to understand something, that what Jesus brought in this faith that we walk out, church, is revolutionary. It's radical. Look at somebody next to you and say, let's get radical. Let's get radical. You know, your life becomes more fun. It becomes more purposeful when you understand that we're not here just going to church. We want to change the world. Thank you for that little smattering of, yeah, we want to change the world. And, you know, if it takes a pandemic, I mean, the Bible says that God is shaking everything that can be shaken so that us, those of us that cannot be shaken, will stand out. And that's what I'm talking about. So in this chapter, if I made the time to just study it out, but I want you to read it later, it talks about what we need to be putting off by an act of our own will and what we need to be putting on. We're going to put off the sins, the anger, the rage, malice, slander, filthy language. And then it says, put on the new self that's being renewed in the image of your Creator, where there's no Greek nor Jew nor circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, black or white. You know, we don't have any divisions among us, but God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Somebody say, wow. And then it goes on about bear ye one another's burdens, forgive one another. Man, I tell you what, if we walk in what God's called us to walk in, we are going to stand out. Now look at this same three verses in the Message Bible. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Come on, somebody. It's crazy, you know. All the little things that we worry about, we got to shake it off. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Like my dad, I know too many songs. I woke up today with a song I just couldn't get off my mind. Just sing it. And it's just songs about Jesus. It's songs that give me peace. When we come in here and worship, man, we want it to stick. We want you to go out of here and you can't get rid of it. That declaration, you know, about how the light of Christ is penetrating the darkness and the chains are coming off and we're being set free. We're walking in that kind of freedom. I mean, that's what church should do for us. I mean, you're not just here doing your time. You're getting empowered to be out of control for God. I want you to be the devil's biggest nightmare. Every time you roll out of bed, the devil's going, oh, no, another day. Hallelujah. So now that we know the resurrection power of Christ lives in us, it's time for us to discover what's important to God. It's time for us to be about the Father's business. You know, I was thinking about David, the little shepherd boy. You know, he discovered a little bit of his purpose when Samuel came and anointed him and said, I'm anointing you to be the next king of Israel. And then he went out. His father sent him back out into the shepherd's field to shepherd sheep. But let me tell you, David was shepherding sheep like a whole nother man. You know, when a lion or a bear came to, he didn't just shoot it with his slingshot. He tore him apart with his bare hands. It made a man of God out of him. That's why when he showed up to bring his brothers a lunch at the battlefront, he couldn't just walk away and let it go. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I can take him. And his big brother said, who do you think you are? You conceited, always think you can do great things. But let me tell you something. It's not the destination that God's looking for. It's growth. Somebody say growth. God wants to see growth in your life. And I want to see that change, a little bit of that change, every time we come together. And that's why I say, if you feel like God's leading you to respond to an altar call, do not sit back. You got to come. Just like all the men that came up here. Let me tell you, that got God's attention. When you left that familiar spot and you came up to the altar, you got God's attention. Now with his attention, look out. Look what God can do through your life, whatever you're going through. Talk to him about it. So I remember when we were raising our children, Jeanette, our two girls, you know, they wanted to help you in the kitchen. And they were sometimes handling dishes, dropping dishes. They were helping to sweep the floor. They didn't really do a very good job, but they were growing. My sons wanted to help me in the yard. And, you know, I would let them do some weeding, some mowing, and then after they did their poor job, then I would tweak it up, because, you know, I trained my boys that mowing was about cutting every blade of grass. What a hard taskmaster, right? Well, it was good training, you know, but I guess now, thank God, I don't even have to mow the yard. My son can not only play the guitar and sing up there. Good job, Stephen. He's really getting with it there today. But he can do a great job at mowing the grass, you know. Dad doesn't even have to do it. There was growth, and God's looking for growth in our lives. as well. So I want to talk to you in the next few more weeks about growing in God. We're going to start out talking about God's purpose today, just short, but I want to get it in your spirit. Next week, we'll talk about God's family. Teamwork makes the dream work, right? And so we got to get you all on a team. I want to talk to you then about God's language, our prayer power. I want to talk to you about God's word. How important is the Holy Bible in our lives? So these are all things that we talk about in our discovery classes. We'll start another 4 weeks of that shortly. Four steps in the growth track of our faith, the four words that form the acronym DRIP, D-R-I-P, and to, you know, what your salvation and everything that God does in your life starts at the discovery. Every discovery that you make in God, it causes you to get related closer to God and to God's people. And so today, I want to talk just a little bit about this through this subject of God's purpose. You want to relate your life to God's family. I want to say this to you. A fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ grows in relationship with God and others. You can't just say, well, I just want it to be with God because I don't get along with anybody else and I don't like anybody else. Just can't do that. Because God is all about us, not just about you. And iron sharpens iron. We need one another. We need to have those confrontations so we can get over ourselves. Now, this is an important verse that I'm going to come to throughout this series. Hebrews 10:24. I'd like for you to look it up in your Bible and underline it if you would, because I really think it's important for today, because this is the scripture that says, let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Like I said, we're going to two services so we can spread out a little bit more here. We won't be as crowded in May. So I'm doing that for some of you that haven't come back yet, because I really believe that it's important for us to have contact with flesh and blood, even with mask on. If you feel that's important, I'm good with that. I'm putting my mask on when I come down and get close to you after the service or at the altar. That's not because, you know, I'm afraid or that I don't believe that God's power is able to protect you or protect me. It's not that. I want to recognize that we want to be inclusive. We want to get people together to worship God. Red and yellow, black and white, male, female, even healthy and getting healthy. You know, we're all going to come together and worship God. Amen, somebody? Amen. Look at this, Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. That's important to the heart of God. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So, growing in God. We start by talking about God's purpose. God's purpose can be seen in the Lord's Prayer. And I find myself leading this prayer many times in a corporate setting with our staff. We pray it in the conclusion of all of our prayer times on Wednesday and Friday when some of you come. I appreciate that. But it tells us that God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. And here we read it. Let's read it together or quote it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So, thy will be done on earth or in earth. I like to say in earth is in this earth or on earth as it is in heaven. Really, what God wants is the culture of heaven to be manifest here on earth. And how does he decide to do that? Through us. So if we're out of order, what good are we? If the salt has lost its saltiness, you know, salt gives a preserving capacity to food, and salt gives flavor to food. We should be the flavor of the world today. Well, some of you bring a lot of flavor, I'm telling you. All flavors. And a preservative. We're trying to save souls from eternal damnation. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. You know, I wish it weren't true. I wish that there wasn't going to be a judgment for those that have denied Christ. I wish it weren't so. I got a heart to see everybody just receive a reward. Even if they failed, I just want everybody to be blessed. But God is just. He's a just God. And you know what? He's so just, he doesn't want anybody to perish, but all to come to repentance. He's going to give everybody an opportunity. You don't think God can't do that? Well, what if somebody's never heard? He's going to give everybody an opportunity. He's patient. He's going to make a way for everybody to either say yes or no. Isn't that great? So be encouraged about those sons and daughters that you're still praying for. They're going to have an opportunity. So this great commission that we started out with in that video, you also read it in Mark 16:15. This is very important to God. The last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven, his last words, hey guys, just one more thing. Make sure you have all the messages you've heard me preach. Make sure you remember this. Go ye into all the world and preach the good news to all of creation. Yeah, Jesus, we got it. We got it. But not necessarily. Go ye, you know, that's kind of King James Version. What does that mean? Well, he spelled it out. When he called the 12 and he called the 70, he said, and as ye go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go ye means as you go to work, as you go to Walmart, wherever you go. And listen, you guys are starting to do that. It's amazing. All the testimonies I'm hearing about people bumping into somebody accidentally. And it's not accidentally. It's a God incident. It's not a coincidence. God's orchestrating these opportunities. But what's happening is we're having eyes to see. And so that is the Great Commission, preaching the good news. And then it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Ooh, are you ready for that? Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Raise the dead. Reminds me of Bishop Joel June, our leader in Haiti. By the way, pray for Haiti. Still going through some things, and I got to get back. We got to get back to Haiti, but there's a lot going on down there. Don't have time to talk about it, but our main leader, Bishop Joel and Doris June, he was raised from the dead at 2 years old. His father, who was a preacher, evangelist, you know, and you say, well, yeah, I've heard that. But no, he was in a casket. He was dead for 3 days. And he was sealed up in a casket at 2 years old. And on the funeral dirge to the cemetery to be buried. And that was before they had cell phones. His father's out preaching the gospel out of town. And they finally got the message to him. He got there in time to stop the funeral march. Said, put that casket down. God promised me that my son would be a great preacher, a great leader in Haiti. Put that down. He's not dying. He's going to live. And on that hot afternoon, he started praying, got everybody praying. And an hour went by, and 2 hours went by. And people started trying to console the pastor and saying, you know, really, we got to get on with this. We understand that this is hard and that you're hurt. And we know the loss that you received. He said, no, keep praying. 3 hours went by. Keep praying because God promised me. And finally, something happened. He heard a sneeze that sounded like it came from the casket. So you know what he did? Open it up. Open it up. Oh, we can't do that. Open it up. Well, you know what happened? They opened it up and he was moving in there. He was raised by God to fulfill his purpose. Let me tell you, God has a purpose for each one of your lives. And there's somebody praying for you. I know I am. To see it come to pass, and there's no demon in hell, not even death, can keep you from the plan and the purpose of God. If two shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. And that testimony brought about a book that's entitled, I Sneezed in My Casket, and tells the story of this tremendous miracle. So yeah, that's what we're to be doing in this great commission. And I see many of you now going out on the go-out teams and praying for people, and you're shocked and surprised to see what God's doing under your prayers and under your hands. Thank God for that. And you know what the result is? Great joy. Great joy. Bethany, I loved your testimony Wednesday night about you going out and how God used you, you troubler of Bradenton. I said that God's using her to stir the waters because she's bold and she's willing to pray for people. So here's another verse I want you to hear today. The fact that if you don't feel qualified, Jesus himself said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. As my dad preaches, you're a fruit dispenser. Yeah. Stop being a fruit inspector and be a fruit dispenser. The fruit of the Spirit. You read about this in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Love, dispensing love, joy, peace. You're even capable of dispensing, if God's really filled you, long-suffering. You're willing to suffer long, to suffer in silence, and keep loving and bringing hope and joy, gentleness, goodness, faith, all these fruit of the Spirit, the character of God that's coming forth from you, like a tree heavy laden with fruit, just ready to be picked. That's the assignment that God has for us. And he's chosen you and ordained you. That sounds pretty ecumenical. You don't have to have a ministerial card in your wallet. You've been ordained by Christ himself. Amen, somebody. I got to tell you, Cynthia Chelly, we're going to have a celebration of life for her dear husband, Lou, who has got such a tremendous, lived such a tremendous life. But Cynthia, as we know her, you know, she's such a prayer intercessor. She's such a precious saint of God. The fruit of the Spirit are just all over her. And she's just ministering continually. You know, don't try to console her. She'll just fill you with the love, the joy, the peace of God. Hallelujah. So let's talk about soul winning just a little bit. I want to just remind you of a couple things that God showed me about how to be a soul winner. Meet people at the point of their need. You know, tomorrow night is our Monday night where our church is supposed to prepare the food and serve the food at Hunger's Inn. Thank you, Pastor Carl and Vicki, for the great vision of that you started and for continuing that and fulfilling that. And other churches now that have joined us and getting involved in that. But tomorrow night, if you've not been out there, come on out to 14th Street and check it out, because we're serving a hot meal to over 200 people on Monday night and then giving out groceries on Wednesday afternoons to probably more than that every week, week after week, month after month. And the Bible says, Jesus said, if you want to be a sheep in the flock of God, then you want to fulfill this. When I was hungry, Jesus said, you gave me something to eat. As much as you've done it to others, you've done it unto me. Well, Jesus, I'd do it if you were here, but no. Jesus says, do it to others. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. Somebody knocks on the door, be careful how you treat them. Don't shove them away. Might be a divine appointment. God wants you to bless them, pray for them. They might have a coat and tie on. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. So we're ministering to people in physical needs and we're ministering to people in spiritual needs. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They won't necessarily have an instantaneous miracle, so get over yourself. Just keep praying for the sick and believing that they shall recover. And then the testimony will find you later and you'll be rewarded by that. So, hallelujah. If you don't feel qualified, Paul, I appreciate you on the front row here because I caught your message Wednesday night with the youth. You were telling them this, that God doesn't call the qualified. You know, he qualifies the called. You just start somewhere. You know, you're called and then he qualifies you. My dad says you can only get better. You only be as bad as you are today. You're always getting better if you just keep exercising. But here's what I see, and I want you to understand this because I saw this in Scripture when Jesus was having his Last Supper, you know, with the disciples. Remember, the Bible says that they were arguing about who was the greatest. And Peter, you know, who was always such an outspoken disciple, he was probably talking the loudest that he was the greatest and why. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. As a matter of fact, you're going to fall. He said, but I'm praying for you that when you're converted, that you'll return better to strengthen your brethren. Now, I've amplified that a little bit, but that's what it means. Jesus said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And Peter said, Jesus, I'll never fail you. I'd die for you. Jesus said, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to have denied that you even know me three times. I'm sure that Peter was thinking, no way, it could never happen. You missed God on that one. But it happened. But think about what Jesus said. I've prayed for you. I prayed for you, not that it wouldn't happen, but I prayed for you that you're going to learn something through it. You see, God teaches us even through the failures. Some of you have had a lot of experience with failure. That's good. God's going to use you in that. God uses your weaknesses. You know, when you have failure in your life, it gives you greater empathy, greater compassion for people that have had those particular sicknesses or gone through that stuff. You know, if you've had a divorce or two or three in your life, I was sharing with some of our leaders the other day how I know a marriage consultant that is presently married to his either fourth or fifth wife, and he's a high-paid marriage consultant. And I said, how can that be? He says, well, I have a lot of experience with failure in marriage. God can use your experience no matter where you've been. Do not disqualify yourself. God has a plan. He's the author and the finisher and everything in between. He's leading and guiding, got a purpose for your life. Come on, somebody. The second thing is, expect divine appointments. The Bible says no man can come to the Father unless he draw them. God's working on reaching people, and then we're just a part of the players on the table that God's using. You might be sowing the seed, or you might bring in the harvest. You don't know, but you're a part of it. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. So, you know, it's so important for us to understand that God's got a plan, and he doesn't do things the way we would do things. He shows up in the midst of the fire. Remember, we studied that. The three Hebrew boys, they didn't want to go into the fiery furnace, but that's where God showed up. That's where they got their promotion. I remember, speaking of Haiti, I got sick one time on the mission field. Rarely happens, but I got food poisoning. It was in Cape Haitian. For some of you from Haiti, you know, in the north where I was at. And I was preaching at one of our new churches that was real remotely located, and it was in a real rough witchcraft area. And so I really wanted to be strong, but that night before we drove out into the countryside, I had a nice boiled fish dinner at our hotel, and it must have been boiled in some contaminated water, because I almost immediately got sick. And you talk about dysentery. I mean, I was coming out both ends, if you know what I mean. And I was sick. And where we were going, there weren't restrooms, or there wasn't anything like that. It was just stop the car, get out into the ditch, and I was a mess. And it was dark, and we had a long drive. And I was going to preach that night. They were waiting for me. The church was packed. We get there, and I'm a total disaster. And I looked it. I smelled it. It was awful. But you know what God did? He anointed me. He healed me for that hour of preaching. I had absolutely no symptoms for that hour. And then, after I got done, man, I was prone again and laying on the back seat of that car and wondering if I was going to make it home alive. But God's grace, it wasn't my time, right? But I don't know why God did that. You know, but he did. And he showed me that he's going to get me through as long as I am doing what he's called me to do, his purpose for my life. Amen, somebody? Amen. Apostle Paul asked God three times to take away his thorn in the flesh. God said, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to give you more grace. God wants us to be strong and to be overcomers. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to continue to go through some stuff. We're living in historic times. I don't know that it's going to get back to normal, but we're going to get better. We're going to stand out in the midst of all this chaos. That's what I believe. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the last days, Luke 21, people are going to turn to you for a testimony. That's why you need some experience to get a testimony. It qualifies you. People will turn to you for help if you've been through some stuff. Amen? He said, don't meditate on what you're going to answer. I'll give you a mouth and wisdom. Against such, all your adversaries will not be able to gainsay nor resist. They won't be able to mock you or resist you. Hallelujah. Divine appointments. I'll close on this. Demonstrate the power. Apostle Paul said these words, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. You don't have to be a preacher, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You just have to obey God. I'll never forget when I was preaching and got sick while I was preaching somewhere, and I'm on my way back out of the church, and this little boy stepped out in the aisle and said, Pastor, can I pray for you? And I was just going to just kind of indulge him. I said, sure. I got to my knees, and he laid his hands on my head, prayed a simple prayer, and I received an instantaneous healing. For the first time in my life, if that little boy had not had the guts to step out on what God told him, and sometimes we have to be a little more like little children just to do what God tells us to do, I wouldn't have had that testimony to give you today. Oh, I got to tell you one other testimony, because, you know, sometimes what you do, and what I know what I do, is not always orthodox, not something you get taught and trained in Bible school. But I was out on the streets one time trying to talk to this guy about Jesus, and he was just like this, just fidgety, and he didn't have time. And he said, "You have a cigarette?" I said, "No, but I said I could get you some." He said, "You do that?" I said, "Yeah." We were right in front of a convenience store. So we went in. He said, "What kind do you smoke?" And he told me. I bought him a pack of cigarettes. I held it, and I said, "Now can I talk to you?" He said, yeah, just give me a cigarette. So I got to talk with him while he smoked that pack of cigarettes, and I led him to Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. That was not the testimony. It was years later. I'm attending a funeral for somebody that I knew, and this woman approaches me. She says, "I'm the mother of so-and-so who's a pastor. My son's a pastor. His testimony talks about you. I think you should know. You bought him a pack of cigarettes on the street one night. And he never forgot that. Led him to Christ. He's a pastor today. And you're always in his testimony." Hallelujah. So I don't teach this as a doctrine. I'm not recommending this to anybody. Don't quote me on this. But I did what I felt God wanted me to do at that moment, and God did the rest. Amen, somebody? Amen. Let me tell you, I really believe that going through some stuff, it builds compassion in you, and compassion releases the power of God. The most important message in the world, John 3:16. Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life." I want us all to stand right now. Please, if you can just stay for a few more minutes. I'm going to invite a few people to the front here. I want us to read this verse together because I quoted it earlier. God is able to do. I want us to say it together. You see it on the screen. Read it with me now. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.